Welcome to the Lake Country Unitarian Universalist Church. This is our first service. Maybe I'll put it over here. This is our first service of the fall season, and we welcome everyone. This is a special service. It is an intergenerational service, which means the children will stay with us today. In your order of service, I'm just going to walk you through things inside it. So, this is the order of service. These are the inserts. The blue insert will be used during the service. The yellow insert is information for you after the service when we go through sharing the ministry. And the yellow flyer is the announcements of upcoming events. I want to bring your attention to the full page side of Judy Corter, who will be here in 2 weeks. We're very, very excited to have her coming. She's the moderator for the UUA. And having her here is actually a quite unique experience for many congregations. She doesn't speak very often. I have one announcement that is not in the order of service, and today is the monthly food pantry collection. Loose cash donations will go to the food pantry when they're in the collection. Checks that are made out to LCUC with the amounts for the food pantry and for LCUC noted in the memo line or check of envelope. And if you've brought food contributions, please place them in the basket in the foyer. And just a little plug for the mowing people. Because it started raining and it's still fairly warm, grass is finally growing again. So we are looking for people to sign up. So when you're out there doing sharing the ministry, an urgent need is mowers. So my name is Barbara Howell, and I am the board president this morning, and I am the board rep for the service. I would like to welcome all of you again and invite you to greet those around you.
Oh, good morning.
Good morning. Should we get her attention? Oh, it's all right.
If you are visiting us today, we particularly welcome you. Please sign the guest ledger in the visitor's table in the foyer. There's a variety of information available to you, and if you have any questions, I'm also available to talk to in the social hour that we invite you to after the service in the social hall. We always enjoy getting to know our guests. If any members have brought guests today, we are pleased if you would introduce them. If any guests have brought themselves and feel comfortable introducing themselves, this would be a good time to do so as well. We enjoy meeting you.
Hi.
Hi. Welcome. Wow. Jim would like to make an announcement.
Grab all my stuff. It's just that following the service, I and a couple of other people will be gathering in the minister's office for a chance to greet you and meet you and answer your questions. So please, you or anybody else that is new, join us after you get yourself a cup of coffee.
Please put your cell phones on silence mode during the service. Jim, check yours. and we hope you find this service a great start to a fall and our 15th anniversary year. Our speaker today is our Reverend James Hobart. Thank you.
Oh, Shandor, I long to see you. Oh, your rolling river. Oh, Shandor, I long to see you. Across the wide main.
let the water run where it may. And if you think sometimes that you are traveling alone, ride along with the river, let it carry you away. Seems like years since I've come down to the riverside to ride this current long ago. I thought I had the answers, I knew how and when and why I needed to travel, needed to go. And over and over, time and again, the river took me by surprise. I thought I knew what lay up around the bend. The course would change before my eyes.
Don't push the river, let it flow on its own. Let the water run where it may.
And if you think sometimes,
sometimes traveling alone, ride along with the river.
Way to go. The maps can only tell a part of the tale. The river always gets its way. Just when you think you know the route, the water can unveil it up. A sudden spray.
Carry you away.
Thank you for that rousing start. I thought for a minute that there was a mistake in the order of service because it sounded like Shenandoah to me. It was lovely. Thank you. Let us open our service. Fount of life, abide with us as we come together here. Spirit of life, assist us to blend our individual lives into a common life of understanding and responsibility and commitment. Sustainer of life, guide us as we seek to serve life richer and more abundant for all. With shared determination, we come together with grateful hearts and generous spirits. And it's in this spirit that we light our chalice this morning. And now I invite you to open your hymn books to number 209, O Come You Longing Thirsty Souls, and we will sing together and hopefully loudly and joyously.
Join me in the congregational ingathering, number 512, in the dark blue hymnals. And I ask that you please read the italics. For the expanding grandeur of creation, worlds known and unknown, galaxies beyond galaxies, filling us with awe and challenging our imaginations.
Thanks this day.
For this fragile planet Earth, its times and tides, its sunsets and seasons.
We give thanks this day.
For the joy of human life, its wonders and surprises, its hopes and achievements.
We give thanks this day.
For our human community, our common past and future hope, our oneness transcending all separation, our capacity to work for peace and justice in the midst of hostility and oppression.
We give thanks this day.
For high hopes and noble causes, for faith without fanaticism, for understanding of views not shared.
We give thanks this day.
For all who have labored and suffered for a fairer world,
who have lived so that others might live in dignity and freedom.
We give thanks this day.
For human liberty and sacred rights, for opportunities to change and grow, to affirm and choose.
We give thanks this day. We pray that we may not live by our fears, but by our hopes, and not by our words and our deeds.
Good morning, everybody. I always ask for a chance to talk to the congregation on the first Sunday of the church year. Just to tell you a little bit about our RE program and our wonderful group of kids here and teachers. So I'm Carrie Duma. I'm the Director of Children's Religious Education and Youth. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about the good year that we have planned for our children. This year, our middle schoolers will be learning about and experiencing various faith traditions in our very popular Neighboring Faiths year. They'll be visiting various churches, temples, and mosques as they learn about other faiths in our area. Our high schoolers, too, will be exploring religious pluralism and deepening their Unitarian Universalist identity as they discover our rich history of interfaith work. They'll be working towards planning a service action with diverse community partners. Our third to fifth grade class will be building and exploring and discovering the people and values of our UU faith. They'll enjoy their time together and solidify their sense of belonging in our LCUUC community. And our youngest classroom will be considering how and why we welcome others into our lives as they practice friendship, fairness, and other values central to Unitarian Universalism. And we'll also be offering the high school level of the Our Whole Lives Human Sexuality curriculum this year. All these programs are possible due to the talents and attention of many caring adult volunteers who gladly give their time and energy to our children and youth. Together, the children and the teachers learn and grow over the course of the year. Each classroom is taught by members from the congregation who volunteer. They sign a code of ethics, and they undergo a criminal background check. And we use curricula that's offered by the Unitarian Universalist Association at all our levels. So I want to take this chance to really ask all you parents to do all that you can to please bring your children regularly on Sunday mornings. This really helps them to create bonds, to understand what we're trying to bring to them. It helps them bring the stories and songs of what they're learning into your home, and it can become a rich part of your family life. Please register your children today after the service. There's a table in the social hall that you can sign your children up, and the forms are also on the website. If that's not convenient for you, you can mail them in or bring them in. There's also information there about our RE program. If you don't have children in our program, but you know and value what we offer here, I encourage you to share that with others that you know and that you talk to in your daily lives, because we really have something special here that I think we can offer to others in our community. So I encourage you to share the good news about what we have going on here. Our classes are open to all members and non-members. I am here on Sunday mornings, and I'm here during the week. I'm happy to talk to you anytime with any questions or ideas or projects or anything else. We have information on the table that kind of outlines everything we do, and I encourage you to take that with you. Our goal is to make Unitarian Universalism an important part of your family's life. So please let me know how we can work together to make that happen. Thank you. Thank you. All right, I'd like to invite the children up now for the story for all ages. It's supposed to be children, children who are regular children, and anyone who's a child in body or spirit. We're going to have a kind of a different story for all ages today. We're going to project the story on the screen, and we're going to do a little movement. So normally the kids come up and they sit on the rug, but we're going to have you stand today.
Okay.
And we're going to do some movement. So you can do what I'm doing. You can join me, and out in the pews, you can join in as well. Or you can do your own interpretive movement. There's a lot of, you know, our theme today is water, and there's beautiful music. And I think that last song earlier, some of us felt like dancing. So this would be your chance to dance and move. This story that we're going to be doing today is called Water Dance. So it really goes with the theme of this morning's service. So we're going to stay standing. And you can join me in some hand motion. So this is the beginning of the story. It says, some people, so we can have the first slide. Some people say that I am one thing. Others say that I am many. Ever since the world began, so let's make the world, I have been moving in an endless circle. This is our world, moving in a circle. Sometimes I fall from the sky. What am I? I am the rain, right? Right. Okay, so now we're going to go to this picture here. Sometimes I cascade. Can you cascade? I tumble down and down over the moss-covered rocks, through the forest shadows. I am the mountain stream. I'm still on here, yeah. Okay, we're the mountain stream, right? Great. All right, let's see what's the next page. At the foot of the mountains, I leap. Can we leap? I leap from a stone cliff, spiraling. Can we spiral? How about you guys spiral? I won't spiral. Spiraling and plunging. Can we plunge? Plunge. What am I? Waterfall. Right. All right, the next slide. In the shadows of the mountains, I am still and deep. I fill. Can you fill? And overflow. I am, what am I? The lake. You feel like a lake? All right. Let's see what's the next one. I wind through the broad golden valleys, joined by streams, joined by creeks. I grow ever wider and wider, broader and deeper. I'm the river. Can you be the river? Yeah. Nice. What else? It's water. Let's see. I pass through a gateway of high stone palisades, leaving the land behind. Cool silver moonlight sparkles and dances on my waves. I am, what do you think I am? Big crashing waves. The ocean, the sea, right. What else is water? Let's see. Drawn upward by warm sunlight in white silver veils, I rise into the air. I disappear. I am the mist. Have you been in the mist? And disappear. In thousands of shapes, I reappear high above the earth in the blue sky. I float. I drift. What am I now? What is that up in the clouds? The clouds. Yeah. So are clouds? Clouds are water too, huh? Carried by winds from distant seas, I move, growing heavier and heavier,
darker, returning. I am the storm front. That's water too, right? When a storm comes. At the wall of the mountains I rise up. And you rise up as gleaming, power-filled towers. In the darkened sky, I am the thunderhead. Can you be a thunderhead? Yeah. I blind the sky with lightning. Can you be lightning? The earth trembles with my thunder. I rage. Can you rage? I drench the mountainside. I am the storm. Scary storm. Storms come, storms pass. I am countless droplets of rain, left floating in the silent airs, reflecting the colors of the sunlight. What am I? I am the rainbow. Let's be the rainbow. The rainbow. Yeah. That's water too, right? So, I am one thing. I am many things. I am water. And this is my dance throughout our world. So thank you for dancing with me. And you can go back to your seat.
This is a reading called Water from Philip Larson. Oh, we need to sing. I apologize. We're going to sing hymn number 100, please. reading from Philip Larson. Water. If I were called in to construct a religion, I should make use of water. Going to church would entail a fording to dry different clothes. My liturgy would employ images of sousing, a furious, devout drench. And I should raise in the last a glass of water where any angled light would congregate endlessly.
Did you notice my change? Yeah. Well, I think I've had a tie on all morning so far. You know, the first Sunday, there's a lot of activity going on, and ministers tend to be nervous any Sunday, but particularly on the first Sunday. And I forgot to put my coat on. Now, who here cares that I didn't put my coat on? See, there was bound to be somebody. I figure probably you didn't care hardly at all. But you know what? I've been wearing a jacket or a robe in the pulpit for 50 years and more. And I sort of felt like I would have felt if in what I have dreams sometimes where I'm standing in the pulpit without my shirt on. And this is sort of the equivalent of that. I just didn't feel dressed, so I had to go get my coat. So there you go. Boy, are we off to an energetic start yesterday at the gathering of leaders of the congregation to talk about what we're going to be doing together this year. And you'll hear more about that. I'm not going to go into detail about that. I'll just say we were flowing. And we were rippling. And we were splashing. And we were falling and rising. I mean, this was a really exciting day yesterday, and we're off to a great start. And it's wonderful this morning to see so many of you gathered here as we get underway for this year. I just want to make a commercial announcement about Jenny Corder. First of all, you need to understand there's primarily one reason that she's here on the 23rd, and that is because I gave her a call and said, "Jenny, we need you." And she's a sucker for those kind of appeals, so she's coming to join us. And this of course, is part of our 15th anniversary celebration this year. It's the first event that focuses on the 15th anniversary of the church, which is a significant occasion. Yeah? Yeah. And we're indeed fortunate to have Jenny here to help us in the joy of that celebration. Now, there are lots of reasons to be here, but the one I want to focus on is that if you are not or you can't be here, you will be personally deprived. She is a wonderful, dynamic, engaging speaker. Look at that sassy look on her face in the order of service insert that talks about her, and you'll see, you get some sense of what I'm talking about. So please make every effort to be here. And then there's one other reason to be here, because if there's not a good attendance, I'll be terribly embarrassed. So help me out. Water, water, water. How is important is water to life on earth and to our lives? Well, you know, there would be no life on earth if there wasn't water. Because water gives life and water sustains life. You know, we have we have exploratory trips to places like Mars going on right now. And what's one of the things they're checking for when they go to Mars? They're checking to see, is there any water there? Because if there's no water, there probably is no way that there has been life on Mars. Certainly not life as we know it. So that's a very important question. And when we come back home, it's even more important, because if it wasn't for water, we would have no life. Now, you probably all know that water comes in three forms. Anybody want to help me with what the three forms? Yeah! What are the three forms of water? There you go. It comes as a liquid, which is water. It comes as a solid, which is ice or snow. And it comes as a gas, water vapor, which we really can't see. But boy, can we feel it when there's lots of water vapor in the air and the humidity goes up and we perspire a lot. So let me mention some other important facts about water. Did you know that the same water that exists on Earth today has been here for millions of years? The very same water has been here for millions of years. Do you know that 70 to 75% of the Earth's surface is covered by water? What do we call those bodies that of water that cover the surface of the Earth? Oceans, thank you. Speak up. I have a hearing problem, so I won't hear quiet voices. But oceans, and sometimes we call them seas too, that's the biggest source of surface water. But there's some other things too, like big lakes, like Lake Michigan. Yeah, and the other four Great Lakes. Ponds, yep. Glaciers, boy, there's a lot of water in glaciers. What about rivers and creeks? Our bodies, yeah. We'll get to that one in just a minute. Do you know that the oceans of the world that cover 70 or 75% of the Earth, did you know that they hold 97% of the world's surface water? And that the glaciers that we mentioned and the ice caps on Arctica and Antarctica, they represent 2.4%. And then all of the lakes and the ponds and the rivers and what in the South we call creeks, those are less than 1% of the world's water, 0.6%. Now here's one. How many people know what an underground aquifer is? Well, quite a few of you know. Down under the ground, there are very large lakes. And in those underground lakes, there is more fresh water than is found on the Earth's surface. Isn't that amazing? Do you know? And now we're coming back to the human side of water. that humans can use only about 0.3% of the world's water that's found in those aquifers and rivers and freshwater lakes. That's fresh water. If we use salt water for most of the things we'd use it for, we would have to take the salt out of it. And some places in the world, they do that. Okay, back to these very big lakes. Do you know that North America's five great lakes, what are their names? I think I heard Superior, Huron, Michigan, Erie, and Ontario. But you know, really, there are only four. You know why there are only four? Anybody know why? Michigan and Huron have a little tiny connector, and they're at exactly the same level all the time. So they really are one body of water, even though we think of them as two. Well, these five Great Lakes, or is it four, contain 84% of North America's surface fresh water. 84%. And then they're also 21% of all the fresh water in the world. And only the polar ice caps contain more fresh water than the five Great Lakes. Okay, now some facts about our bodies. Did you know that our bodies are more water than anything else? And did you know there's a difference between men and women when it comes to the amount of water in our bodies? We males, about 60% of our bodies is water, but for females, it's 70% of their bodies. So, if you could, that helps you to begin to understand why water is so important for us to live, because it makes up such a huge percent of our bodies. Okay, so in addition to the water that's in our bodies, on a daily basis, we have to have water. How many of you have been told you should drink the equivalent of 8 glasses of water a day? Okay, you've heard that, haven't you? So it's that important to help keeping us alive. And what are the many uses that we have for water? Well, I just mentioned we drink it. What are some of the other uses for water? The everyday? Cooking. That's really an important one, isn't it? Bathing. Homebrew beer. Yep. We wouldn't want to forget that one, would we? Anybody here swim? Have you ever tried to swim where there's no water?
Yeah.
It really doesn't work very well, does it? And this area is full of lakes where people swim. What else do we do on the lakes around here?
Fish.
Yep. We have all kinds of uses, and I'm regularly hearing from many of you about, oh, we went out kayaking last Sunday, or we went swimming, or whatever. You know, you use a lot of water around here. Now, there's another big, huge use for water, transportation. How many of you have ever been and seen the Mississippi River? Now, did you notice any barges and tugboats going up and down that river? Yeah. In fact, right now we have a big problem because there's been such a drought this year that it's very difficult for those barges because the river level is so low that they scrape the bottom if they're not very, very careful. So it's affected that transportation on the rivers. But there's also transportation on the lakes. I live in Chicago, and when I go down a little bit east of where I live in Chicago, there's an area where big ocean liners come into Chicago, and they've crossed the oceans and come up the St. Lawrence River and through the St. Lawrence Seaway, of which that river is a part, and then they come into the Great Lakes and they come right to Chicago. So that's another mode of transportation that is very important. Now, let me ask you a question. What do you think the average person in the United States, how much water do you think they use each day? How many gallons of water do you think the average person uses each day? Anybody want to make a guess?
120.
How much?
120.
75. 100? Yeah, well, the source that I went to says that it is 80 to 100 gallons of water a day. 80 to 100. That's a lot of water. And what do you suppose the major use of that water is?
Flushing.
What was that last one?
Flushing.
Flushing. That's the answer. We use more of that 100 gallons of water to flush toilets than we use for any other purpose. Well, these are just a few of the practical facts about the importance of water for life on Earth and for human life, and therefore for each of our lives. Now, let's turn to another whole category about what water represents in our lives. Water stands for deep religious meanings in many of the world's religions. And we call those kinds of meanings symbolic meanings. We've heard some songs that were sung today that carry some of those symbolic meanings. We've sung some hymns that carry those meanings. That hymn we sang, Fount of Every Blessing. Okay, well, you get the idea that, and what about today here at Lake Country? We're celebrating this water service. Some people call it the water communion service or the water celebration. So we have our own meaning that is particular to Unitarian Universalism for the meaning of water. The great scholar of the world's religions, Mircea Eliade, who is dead now, but he taught for many years at the University of Chicago, he says, waters are spring of origin, the reservoir of all the possibilities of existence. They precede every form and support every creation. That's how important water is. Basically, all of the world's religions have stories and poems about water. For example, the water creation stories. You find some of those in the Christian and Jewish scriptures, but in other world religions too. You find flood stories. How many people remember about Noah? Yeah, and when, you know, that mythological story about the time when the earth was totally covered in water. These stories and these poems speak of streams of waters and still waters and living waters and moving waters and flowing waters and fountains of waters. So you can see the very important meaning that water has to our religious understanding. Now, earlier this morning we heard a poem, Philip Larsen's poem, Water, which is a recent poem. This does not go back hundreds and thousands of years. He wrote that pretty recently. And it's interesting that Philip Larsen is talking about that he is going to invent a new religion based on the use of water. And he says, if I were called in to construct a religion, I should make use of water. Going to church would entail affording to dry different clothes. Fording, going from one side to another. It would entail affording to dry different clothes. My liturgy, and that's what we have every Sunday here in this order of service, that's our liturgy. My liturgy would employ images of sousing. What is sousing? A furious, devout drench. You ever gotten so wet that your clothes were soused? They were totally drenched? They didn't have a dry spot on them? Well, he says that is what he would do if he were asked to invent a religion, that everybody would get soaking wet, would get drenched. And then he says, and I should raise in the last a glass of water where any angled light would congregate endlessly. Any angled light. What do we call that when light is any angle like that? There's a word for that. What is it? Anybody say rainbow? Yeah. Rainbow. I'm sure we've all seen rainbows up in the sky. Philip Larsen would want to have rainbows right in his church service. I think that's a wonderful idea. Now, wouldn't it be something if everyone came to church to get soaking wet and then put on dry clothes and finally held up a glass of water to the light, creating a colorful rainbow? That's a really kind of an interesting idea, isn't it? Well, we don't go quite that far, but our water communion service, our water service, is a way of holding up the importance of water to our individual lives and to our life together and to life on earth. And Philip Larsen's poem reminds us that a creative religion will always be encouraging us to see life anew, to see it in a different way, as refreshing waters and bright, colorful light show us a new way of experience. Now, I want to suggest to you this morning that that is one of the things we all seek when we come together in this place, a new experience, a new way of understanding, that kind of sense of, aha, I haven't thought about it that way before. That's part of what we're trying to do here, is we're a community in which we are seekers of deeper meaning and more profound living. And this is the kind of shared religious experience and the kind of shared religious meaning that our water service seeks to express. This service is not simply about our important individual meanings and our experiences that are expressed in the water that we have brought here today. We each bring our individual or our family offering of water. water that is important to us, that has a deep meaning. But then what do we do with our individual water? We add it to the religious community's bowl of water and merge it all together with all of the other waters that people have brought together from many sources, and we unite them in a common bowl. And this serves to express our belief that the many, that is, all of us, each of us, that we become one body in our religious community. Just as the many waters become one, so we seek to be united as one community of relationship and one community of common service to the world. So, now we come to the point where we will collect together our waters. Down in front of you, you see an array of things. In the center are the bowls where we will collect the water. One of the things on the bowl, on the table, is a container of water from years past. It represents all of the times that you have come together here in this water communion service. So we will add that to our bowl to include everyone. And then each person will be asked to make their contribution of the water that they bring. Now, I know it's a temptation. I know it is for me. I mean, I could tell you long stories about the places I've been this summer and the water that I collected or might have collected this summer, but I'm going to resist doing that. So what I ask you to do is to resist doing it too, and simply to let us know where your water comes from, and we can fill in the rest of that service. Now, let me start Okay, you can hear me, right? Well, now, what do I have here? Well, that's right. Well, you know, this is homebrew, right? So the glass was for homebrew. But anybody notice something particular and unusual about this glass? There's no water in this glass, is there? It's an empty glass of water. Well, now, why would I do something like that? Well, my container, which is empty of water, serves to remind me and all of you that there are people in the world who lack access to safe water and affordable water. So, by adding my empty water glass, I symbolize that I, and I hope you, stand together with those people like the people of the Unitarian Universalist Service Committee who are working to see that everybody in the world has safe and affordable water. Let's remember that as we collect our waters. And then, how many people found in their order of service a page with a water drop on it? A blue page with a water drop. Would everybody get their water drop out? And then when you come up to add your water to the bowl, would you please stop at either this table
or that table, take one of those markers and write down a word of what water expresses for you. For example, I'm going to get my water drop and I'm going to write a great big B-E-A-U-T-Y. Beauty. Beauty. I could probably put 100 words, but that's the one that comes to my mind. So, we will then collect, you can just leave yours on the table, and we will collect them, and we'll post them in a place where people can see all of the collective words and meanings that we have for water. And you know what? Each one of those words added together will have a deeper and more significant meaning than any one of them might have. Okay. If you have brought water, let's begin on this side and come forward. And if you haven't brought water, you can still come forward and take your water drop and put your word down on it. Okay, thank you. I'm being reminded. This is the water for those folks who didn't bring any so that they can add some to our collective bowl. Sheila?
My water might be on my skin still. Carrie Duman and I took a walk the other day at Paradise Springs, which I imagine many of you have been to. If you haven't, I highly recommend. Anyway, I found it to be mystical and spiritual and unbelievably beautiful.
If we'd like, we may come around from both sides and work our way.
Heartland from the Rain Barrel.
Carlin Lake, way up near Presque Isle, Wisconsin. A lake in the Boundary Waters that we call Honeymoon Lake.
I didn't go anywhere, so I'm putting in here representing a tear.
County, Wisconsin.
This water's from our backyard, Fowler Lake.
The Gulf off of Galveston, Lake LaBelle, kayaking, and Fox River out of Tishigan, kayaking.
From Lake Superior, northeast of Thunder Bay.
My tears whenever we have a new member join, but especially my tears when Hillary graduated college this year.
This is from home, but it represents the new freedom my son has found in the water this year.
From Hawaii and from New Orleans.
From our backyard, which we had to water all of our gardens and some all the short rainfall this year.
This water represents the Tuckerden Bay water where my husband's ashes were spread in the Atlantic Ocean.
This water represents the pitter-patter on my roof last night. Kept me awake a little bit, but I like it.
Long Island Sound.
El Lago del Bosque in Bemidji, Minnesota.
Longboat Key, Gulf of Mexico.
The sweat of the pit orchestra for Les Miserables.
Horicon Marsh yesterday.
Rock Island State Park.
This water represents Lakes Turkasia and Kiwi, which means so much to my family.
Grand Teton National Park.
This water represents Eagle Falls in Kentucky.
Riverside, California, and Pacific Ocean. Like Nagawicca that offered me so much joy swimming and kayaking and canoeing all this summer.
From the Baltic Sea off the coast of Sweden, and Jane sends her love.
The Pacific Ocean on the equator around the Galapagos. And salty.
Our backyard rain barrel.
Marshfield, Iowa, a huge thunderstorm.
This water is symbolic of the birth of our second granddaughter. On the 6th of August, her name is Asha Anjali, and she was adopted by our oldest son, Christopher, and his wife, Kimberly.
Lakes Kuchiching and Keshemaw-Wigamock in central Ontario, Canada.
Moose Lake, where my good friend lives.
This is Simbog water from Denver. Shetek, Wisconsin.
Pawleys Island. Atlantic Ocean.
Otter Creek flowing into Lake Wendigoostegan, Ontario.
Representing Cass Lake in the Mississippi River system, Minnesota.
My rain barrel, precious resource.
The middle branch of the Ontonagon River in the Upper Peninsula, home to beautiful brook trout.
From Guatemala City, Guatemala, where I met Vilma, who our church is sponsoring.
The Milwaukee River.
Cody Reservoir, Wyoming.
Represents the healing waters of the therapy pool in Selma, Indiana. St. Louis, Missouri.
Paraphrase Glen near Devil's Lake, Wisconsin.
This water's from our rain barrel, and it watered our garden all summer.
From the pond in my backyard where I play and with my friends. From the water of my dead goldfish's fishbowl that, and we put them under a cucumber plant, and yeesh, that thing produced a lot of cucumbers.
Lake Annie and the aquifer beneath. In Wales, Wisconsin.
Now is the time in our service for another kind of offering. So from your life, please let us bring together our offerings for the life and service of this church community.
As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, sisters, let's go down, come on down. Oh, sisters, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, brothers, let's go down, come on down. Oh, brothers, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, people, let's go down, don't you wanna come down? Come on, people, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown, good Lord, show me the way.
I was saying the choreography of this morning was a challenge because we have a bunch of different things to do. Okay, what I'm doing is putting on the table the membership book. And then I'm going to ask Sally if she would come forward and join us. You can stand right over here. And we're delighted that you're here with us today. Yeah. So, each of you may not have this sheet of paper called Service of Welcome for a New Member, but I think there are enough for people to share. If you don't have one, find somebody close to you so you can follow along. Okay, I participate in this service of welcome as minister of the Lake Country Unitarian Universalist Church. Through this simple service this morning, the Lake Country Unitarian Universalist Church enacts the renewal of the life of our religious community. candidate for membership in a Unitarian Universalist congregation makes a free choice to join his or her life to the church community. Sally, are you ready now to affix your name to the membership book? Will the people of the congregation read their part into membership? We warmly welcome you to the Hodge community. Let's join together in our closing hymn, number 1064, in singing The Journey, not in the gray book, but in the other book, teal, I think that color's called, Blue Boat Home, number 1064. Thank you.
waters merge when poured into the same bowl, and our lives too merge in our community of care and concern, love and justice, peace and reconciliation. In this beloved community, our stories of past and present and future come together to form a shared life vision. Let us now go forth to live more fully and more abundantly. Amen.
Lay me down, lay me down on your rocky shore so gently. I have come in on an eastern wind. Talk to me.